I've been here in the last few weeks and the meetings that we've been having and some of the Tuesday night meetings, and one thing that's been on my heart and on my mind lately is Paul, and so because I've been thinking about how, I mean, we all have our issues and our problems, the things we struggle with. I mean, the Lord knows, and I'm not gonna go into them because I've done it a lot before. But the Lord knows the things I struggle with. The Lord knows that there's areas that I have yet to overcome in, and I believe that there's a reason that He wants me to share these things, because I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived, and I think it's good for people to be able to hear from somebody who hasn't arrived. I mean, and I know it. And there are things that I'm continually working on in my life to adjust that, but working on it and changing it are two different things. And so I was reading in Acts concerning Paul and his Damascus experience, and you know, I've been thinking about not just me, but where some of us are at, where some of us have been at for quite a while now, and it's discouraging, and at times I've felt really hopeless with certain people because I don't understand why they're so hard-hearted and choose to continue down the path that they're going. Not thinking that I'm not capable of doing that, but realizing that my heart is to please the Lord and do what He asks me to do and go where He wants me to go. You know, I want to do the right thing. I don't want to do wrong by people. And I am sincere with them. And when I talk to him, like for example, when Dad was mentioned to you, Lynette, about what he said. But you said about do you give or do you believe that? See, a lot of us don't voice that to the Lord. We don't say, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe that if I give, I'm going to receive, you know, just different things like that. And the thing is that's one thing that I make sure I do. I do voice the fact that, you know, I really just don't have a lot of enjoyment in reading my Bible. That's just been the truth. And that's a problem. And I, you know, of course when I talk to the Lord about these things, I feel terrible, and He knows my heart. But at the same time, continuing to talk to Him about it and be honest with Him, you know, that's good, and that's where a lot of us need to come to. But for me, it's more than just, at this point and now, it's getting to be more than just talking to Him and being honest with Him. It's really just about doing it. I read a scripture in Hebrews, chapter 11, of course, but it gives a good example. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I'm not putting that into context of we can't enjoy life and I can't go golfing and I can't do the things I want to do. I mean, that's not what is meant to be. But the truth is there are things that we all struggle with in our day-to-day lives that keep us from really having the encounter with Jesus that we're really needing. Me, for an example. I mean, and it's really the sins that does so easily beset us that we struggle with, and the familiars and spirits that, even if we're not living with the familiar spirits, if we have relationships with people like he was talking about, there's a continual barrage from Satan to keep us in that mode of being under the familiar spirits, the things that we're familiar with, whether it be the music we listen to, whether it be the things we do every day, movies for me, not just movies, but sports, athletics, anything like that. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that we wake up in the morning and we don't give our day to the Lord. You know, we're not disciplined. There's things that we don't do to start our day off, even carnally, right? And so we're off on the wrong foot to begin with. We go through the day, and every day is the same. And I'm coming to the place where it's really frustrating. And because I realize that this is something that is my problem, when I talk to the Lord, I mean, I am sincerely just asking for His help. And I ask Him, I say, Lord, I want to have an encounter with You. I want to know what it's like to really want to share Your gospel with people. I want to know what it's like to give myself to not just people I know, but people I don't know. I don't want to be ashamed of His word when I go into public. I don't want to be ashamed to sit down at some place and bust out the Bible and start reading it. And, you know, everywhere I work, everybody knows what I stand for. They know I'm a Christian. They know I'm in ministry and all that stuff. But it's when you're by yourself and it's when you're left to yourself, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you're not in relationships with other people and when you're not having the truth spoken to you, like it should be. There was a scripture I read. I can't remember where it was exactly at. I think it was in Isaiah. No, I don't remember, but it said something to basically the effect of, you know, you have somebody who's basically has a nice voice and is singing to you these things that are comforting to your ears, but it's not the truth and it's not what's going to help you further down the road. And I wish I remember that where that's at, but you know, I firmly believe that without truth being spoken into our lives, reproof, things of that nature, that correction, I mean, you know, it really is hard to move on in our walk with the Lord, and because it's not just me and Jesus. I mean, to say that would be just insanity, because the fact is if it's, you know, just me and Jesus, I mean, look how far I've gotten with me and fellowshipping other people and Jesus. I mean, there has to be more to it than just me and Jesus. There has to be more to it than me having a relationship with all of you. And because I don't have a problem having a relationship with anybody here. I get along with everybody fine for the most part. But the problem is still me. And the problem is what's going on in here. And so, as I'm reading in Acts, you know, Paul gives his testimony 2, 3, probably maybe 4 times in the span of about, you know, 10 chapters in Acts. And every time it's the same. And I remember he said to me one time, it's hard to kick against the pricks. I had no idea what he was talking about. And you know, but the truth is the Lord is continually on my mind and on my heart. He's continually dealing with me some way, because the truth is I'm honest with Him. And the truth is I want to do what's right. And so being that my mind is continually thinking that He's watching me, I have a hard time getting away with anything. And so as I'm thinking where some of us are at, and before that, you know, with the meetings and stuff and hearing some people share, and obviously you've heard me say this before, but I mean, a lot of times there's no life in it. There's no life in what we share. And I really start to think to myself, gosh, is there really any hope for some of us? Is there hope for some of us to really come out of what, if we stood up in front of other people and asked them to honestly tell us what they thought of us, is there hope for me to come out of that? You know? And a lot of us haven't been willing to hear what other people really honestly think of us.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, and how people see us, and the truth is, all you got to do is go up to 2, 3, 4 people, and not just four people who you might want to hear from, but four people who you don't really enjoy spending a lot of time with, maybe, and ask them what they think of you and what their honest opinion is of you. And because some of us have a hard time judging our own heart, so maybe we need to ask other people what they think of us. And so as I'm thinking about all these things and I'm reading Paul's testimony, and I mean, the fact is I don't think a lot of us really realize what Paul was like before he came to the Lord. I mean, the guy was evil. I mean, he wasn't a nice guy. I mean, this guy put people in prison. I mean, people probably died from him putting them in prison. I mean, this guy sent them to unknown cities that they didn't know of. I mean, this guy was not a good guy. And for the Lord to encounter him and tell him it's hard to kick against the pricks and ask him why he's persecuting him or tell him that I'm Jesus, the one that you persecute. If he can do it for Paul, I believe he can do it for any one of you here. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is before I really got into reading that, I had doubts about that. I had doubts that the Lord would want to take the time to help some of us because we've been so hard and so rebellious and so stuck in our ways. And of course, when I look at myself and I think, you know, if I was in their position or even if the position I'm in, I mean, I think to myself, like I said, you know, when am I going to be able to get out of this rut that I'm in? Or can I get out? Or how long is it going to take? Or, you know, what do I need to do? And all the while I know there's things that I need to do, like reading my word and walking and praying, just praying, period, or spending less time doing this or that. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that we could do. But as I'm reading Paul's testimony and how the Lord encountered him and how he told him to go and do this, and he did it. He told him to go to wherever it was he needed to go, and that a man would meet him there. I mean, just the whole testimony is just awesome, and it's really unbelievable. And that's why, like, when he was sharing it, his testimony with King, whatever his name, huh?
Agrippa.
Yeah, Agrippa. When he was sharing it with him, the king said, "You almost make me want to be a Christian."
Yeah.
For very long, but he took what the Lord gave him and ran with it, and he realized the grace. I mean, this guy, he understood now what he was supposed to be doing and what he had done. I mean, you know, Acts gives a really good account, but I mean, it would be great to really know everything, every single thing that went on before, during, and after his whole thing. I mean, it would really be awesome. But so as I'm thinking about this, you know, I'm starting to think about my testimony and the fact that I don't really share my testimony with a lot of people. And really because I don't have a lot of confidence in, you know, I mean, I know what I've been through, but and then we've all struggled with this at times. My testimony is not very good and all this other stuff. But the truth is what are we valuing? And do we value the word of the Lord? And do we value the fact that we have been delivered? And do we value our salvation? And so, one of the scriptures I got was in Romans. Says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's in Romans 10, verse 9. And so I was seeing a little pattern, and then I went over to first or Second Timothy. Second Timothy 3, and I got this actually in Hawaii, and it was in May of 1996 when I was in Hawaii, and it was a word that either my dad gave to me, or that he gave to all of us, and starts in verse 15. It actually goes into chapter 4. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." And it's pretty obvious we're in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I won't even go into that, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And that's the big thing that everybody says now about the Bible. If you listen to, if you watch any of these news stations, if they do anything on the Bible, I've heard a lot of actors and stuff say this, you know, they say, yeah, my grandmother used to read me the Bible when I was a child, and you know, now it's the Bible's a great book for stories. They're neat little stories. I love listening to the stories in the Bible, and that's all that people think they are, is fables and
that's
stories.
Right.
But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so as you go through this, and in verse 16 in chapter 3, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness." And see, these are the things that a lot of us who've struggled with the same thing just hate. We hate reproof. We hate correction. We hate these things. We hate to be spoken to. We don't understand why we're being spoken to. And so, as I'm thinking about these things, I'm thinking, you know, some of us are either crazy, insane, whatever you want to call it, or we're just flat out rebellious. I mean, we just don't want to hear what people have to say. So I think we got a little bit of both here. So there were some questions that came to me after this. And first question, of course, is, do we have the Holy Ghost? Are we filled with the Spirit? Is the Holy Ghost in us? And this is something that I struggle with on and off. Being in the Spirit, having a right spirit. You get me in the middle of a football game or that stupid volleyball game or something out there, most of the time, I won't be in the Spirit, okay? Now you laugh, James, but if you hit the ball right, I could be in the Spirit. I'm just kidding. But,
volleyball after the meeting, Brandon?
Yeah, I'll be there. But,
we're going to watch you.
Well, you see, you watch me, but see, this is another thing. See, a lot of the reason you know me so well is because I've told you about me, okay? You know me because I've told you. I mean, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at with the Lord. I know the things I struggle with, and I'm not going to hide them. There's no reason for me to hide them.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm not worried about that. You know my weaknesses. And if I had such a hard time with it, I wouldn't get up here and share it so much, okay? But you know my weaknesses in that area, and the thing is you know, you just got to be faithful to me and just keep beating on me, because you know if I have a problem with you, I'm going to tell you. So I mean, you know, you might as well do it both ways. Feel you're getting something out of it.
Yeah.
So the first question is, do we have the Holy Ghost? And if you go over to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and everywhere else, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And like I said, I was getting a lot of this message for myself, but the fact is I don't see a lot of us being witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, let alone to the uttermost parts of Billings, Montana. And you know, so I mean, I think that's, I had that question, I put number one because I think that's the first thing we need to look at is, and you know, it's not about being baptized again, okay? I've learned this lesson. It's not about being baptized again. You don't need to be baptized again if you've already been baptized, okay? That's a good, it is a, it's nice and it's helpful to be baptized. But, you know, as far as doing it over and over again, you don't need that. Those of you who haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that should be priority one on your list. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you do not speak in other tongues, that should be priority number one on your list.
Yes.
Because that alone changes your life. And see, I know from experience, from being in and out of it, that that is just one thing that, you know, when I first got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, I was scared beforehand. I wanted it bad, but I was scared because I didn't know, you know, it was, it's not of this earth, so it's yeah, you know, it's different. And you know, not only that, but I knew that it was real. And it scared me that was something that could be inside of me. And so, you know, these are the kind of things that we have to be thinking about, and these are the things that I think about, that, you know, here I say I'm a Spirit-filled Christian, and I struggle with the most stupid things. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we talk about these things, and a lot of times the things we talk about are stupid, and a lot of times people think that they're so little and stuff like that, and then people don't remember that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. They are little things, and some of them are stupid, but the fact is, and we don't need to keep sharing and dwelling on them, but we just need to see it and change from it. See it and do it. Words don't really mean anything anymore in this ministry. It's actions.
Yeah.
So some of us need to get smart and stop talking and just do.
Yes.
Because the more we talk, the more we get in trouble.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so... And the next question I have is do we value the Word and the Scriptures? Which the Scripture I was using for that was just the same one I read out of Timothy about knowing the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's, the Bible is my answer.
Yes.
It always has been.
Yes.
But it's something that I just have not wanted to do. That's just, like I said, that was the truth of the matter. I didn't want to do it. But the truth is I've known every time I've gotten into the Word and sincerely looked to get something out of it, the Lord is faithful to give me something. And so the Bible is the answer. Reading the Bible is the answer to a lot of your problems. Well, to all of your problems. Next question was, are we careless hearers? Are we careless hearers? And, I mean, you could go through and find probably quite a few scriptures, but, you know, about hearing and doing and all that. And I just want to read a quick scripture. It's Matthew 7. Out of Matthew 7. See, it's 26. It just says, "Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." And it's 7:26 and 27. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And I don't think that scripture scares us enough.
Mm.
Because over time, the less you hear, and the more you sit in these meetings and don't pay attention, and I mean, I've been there. There's times where I'm out of it and don't pay attention. But for the most part, when I come to a meeting, I want to be engaged. Because if there is something the Lord wants to give me, I'd hate to miss it. That's kind of a good thing to go on.
How would you define careless? Because that's important.
How would I define careless?
Yeah, because we are careless hearers. Are we careless hearers? Just how, what comes to you? I mean, how do you? What do you think of with being careless?
Value. I mean, we don't value what we've been given. We're not. We just don't care. I mean, we don't.
Careless. Okay.
Hearers, emotional hearers. Shallow cries unto shallow.
Oh, that's, well, that's good. I just
go ahead.
Careless. You know, I think of careless hearer as someone who is every little thing distracts them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No matter what goes on, it distracts them. A bird flies over, a plane flies over, the horse is over there, whatever. And any little thing distracts us from what's being said. We're careless. That's, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, read your scripture real quick. Speak up, okay.
This scripture goes with the one he just read, and also I just realized that the one he was trying to find earlier, and it says, "And they come unto thee, and the people come, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For their mouth shows much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not."
Right. Yeah, thanks. I knew you got that for me. Okay, hold on one sec. Let me get. The other question I had is, are we just insane?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I mean, are we just insane? There's a couple of scriptures there's a couple that are kind of humorous in a sense, but Matthew 17. Well, I gave this one just as a kind of a side note because I like this word. The word is lunatic. And the guy says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him." And then he goes on, but the interesting thing about that is, why don't we substitute fire and water for whatever it is you fall into all the time?
Yes.
I mean, this is, you know, so, and you know, you can look that up under health in the concordance. It's under health. Insanity is. And lunatic, it's under health as like a disease, and as a, well, not just as a, not really as a disease, but as a infirmity, and as a being possessed with a spirit, with a demonic spirit, and then in James, let me go there real quick. James James 1:23-24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was.
This fulfills my definition of insanity, which, if you remember, it's when your head and your heart are at war and your head wins.
Right.
That's insanity. Nobody here would admit that they're insane. But you know what? When you know in your heart the right thing to do, and your mind reasons you out of it, you've just fit the definition of insanity. Insanity is a disease of the mind, as contemporary medicine would tell us. But God sees it as a disease of the heart, a disease of your soul.